The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Lovely to see your names and be with you. So we'll do the usual thing. I'll say a few words and sit and then offer a dharma. And I think last time the inaugural group, last time my meditation instructions were something like attention is just an appendage of our wanting. There's stress in trying to find, but relief in being found. It's like, what does that even mean? You know, really, those are the opening meditation instructions. But sometimes we get more vague and impressionistic, sometimes more concrete. This week, tacking back towards the concrete. And so, intention. To put down greed and distress with respect to the world. Yeah. In a way, it's like we sort of have to have equanimity before we've even developed it, right? But that's the instruction. We put down as best we can greed and distress with respect to the world. That's the intention. And that means we're just actively relinquishing the intention to solve our problems, right? The way in which meditation becomes the workspace for our kind of problem solving. We relax that energy and we offer up our kind of heart to the moment, trusting that the moment will do good things to it. So intention and then attention, we set the kind of the anchor for the attention, typically, and we set a kind of aperture, right? Where the attention is and how the aperture, how wide the kind of spotlight of attention is. It's not totally right, but generally the wider the aperture, the more concentration is required in order to stay out of auditory thinking. The narrower the aperture, it's not easier, it's not a lot easier, but it's a little easier there's a lower level of concentration needed to stay out of auditory thinking. So there's where we place the attention, the aperture, okay, just at the tip of the, you know, it's breathing, but it's not breathing here, it's breathing right here, narrow aperture, for example. And then we're nurturing a certain kind of vividness. And that means like a very, we know the difference between dull and vivid. Right, vivid. This is a kind of experience of our the sensory world in vividness, and we're stabilizing the attention. So that the telescope is not shaking as much. Right, we don't choose to do that, but we're. This is, we're cultivating this kind of stability of the attention. And then the fourth piece is effort, the kind of subjective impression that we have about our current attentional state. How easy or difficult is it to sustain, right? We have to modulate that often, the effort, right? It's like I said vividness, I said stability, Right? But that doesn't mean the effort gets out of control, right? We modulate the effort to not too tight, not too loose. What kind of effort is actually entailed in this practice? What actually supports you? And we're that's a kind of not constant, but often we're modulating that, right? And how do we make a kind of effort that feels sustainable, right? That's generally we don't want to be burning, the more kind of effortful our practice is, the more we get this kind of whiplash of real depletion where the attention totally needs to go slack. So how can we make a kind of sustained effort while nurturing these qualities of vividness, of stability? How is the effort of letting go different from the effort to make something happen, right? The effort of receiving, the effort of listening to the silence, feeling into the stillness. That's a different kind of effort than engineering silence, engineering stillness, engineering anything. So with this as a kind of preface, let's sit together. So in whatever ways you can reassure yourself, it's okay for this period to contribute nothing to the solution of our problems, to the resolution of the First Noble Truth, to the complexities of being human. We just put it down rather than extract something from the moment, we offer ourselves up to it. We just kind of treat our life for these minutes as good enough. Treat the moment as good enough. The energy around maximizing, optimizing, just relax it, let that drain into the ground. We place the attention somewhere maybe our breathing or our body more broadly, maybe the soundscape. Maybe let the soundscape run right through your head and include external sound and the internal sound that we call thinking. But the attention has a place to rest. And the how of our attention. Vivid, stable, but not vivid and stable by making an effort born of clinging. Not vivid and stable, making an unsustainable effort. Just gently nurturing, investing our interest in the object of attention. And when we become identified with thought, mind wandering, kind of daydream, the sense of attentional agency collapses. We just live inside the content of that thought. And then we wake up. It feels like the attentional agency is restored. And then maybe we pit one part of ourself against another. The our fault for being lost. But this is unnecessary. It's all the same mind. So we reestablish that kind of intimacy, some vividness, some stability with the anchor of attention. Modulate the effort up, down, slightly different, or the same. Keep going. These last few minutes, just noticing the mind in a kind of holistic way. In a sense, move from a very concrete anchor to something like the anchor is everywhere. Maybe we say nowhere. Just notice all that can be noticed.